are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Monday, August 21st, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. It's a total eclipse of the Bannon. Banished. And now back at Breitbart, backed by billionaire Mercer. Meanwhile, Charlottesville, just the beginning for Republicans. And a massive counter-protest in Boston to a barely materializing alt-right protest. Meanwhile, tonight, Trump set to announce Mattis's decision to increase troop levels in Afghanistan. And five injured and 10 missing sailors as a destroyer collides with a merchant ship. And Trump's so toxic that Mar-a-Lago can't even give it away. Meanwhile, the debt limit comes on in late September. After that, anybody's guess. And rest in peace, Dick Gregory. Man. All right, Jerry Lewis. Meanwhile, the Secret Service has gone broke because Trump. And lastly, RNC is crushing the DNC in raising money. But Dems doing better where it counts in local races around the country. All this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. So I guess this happened. It's being reported this morning, and it happened late last night, perhaps, or I'm not sure at what time Eastern time, but a U.S. destroyer in the Strait of Malacca, which is, somewhere in the South China Sea, somewhere in those environs, and they were, this destroyer was on its way to Singapore. It was 5:24 a.m. local time there, so it was still dark, and it ran into a merchant marine vessel, and at least five Navy sailors are missing, or I should say injured, and 10 are missing. It is the USS John S. McCain guided missile destroyer. I believe that was John McCain's dad, who was an admiral in the Navy. And it was an oil tanker that about three times the size of that destroyer. So a rather big ship. Don't understand how stuff like this happens. There's been other incidents like this not too long ago that apparently it's just simply poor seamanship. But one would imagine there would be some type of like, I don't know, I got to talk to Larry, our buddy Larry Murphy, about this. But one would imagine there'd be some form of sonar, radar that would say like, hey, boat, 20 feet away, or, and, you know, these ships are so large, there's probably a significant distance you need before you avoid something like this. But nevertheless, you would imagine that there would be instruments that would measure that distance plus a little bit. But meanwhile, Donald Trump was reached. Apparently he was, I don't know, coming out of a helicopter. I'm not sure. This must have been first thing this morning or maybe last night. And this is how he responded.
Returned to the White House last night.
That's too bad. Too bad.
That's too bad. That's too bad. So there he is. They are claiming now over at Breitbart that he was not informed at the time that that happened. And that it's actually a function of McMaster, who had not informed him. So you see where this is going, right, folks? This is just a slight preview of today's program, because this is going to be the dynamic. Now, from that tape, I think it's pretty clear he knows what they're talking about. I mean, some reporter is yelling at him over the din of a helicopter about the John S. McCain. He doesn't look surprised or, what are you talking about? He looks like he's been briefed. It's just that nobody sat there and said, oh, incidentally, make sure that you pretend like you're a human being who's in charge of something like this. And so you might want to come up with something to the effect of, we're doing our best to rescue these soldiers, these Navy personnel. Folks like this put themselves in harm's way. What? Some type of platitude, or maybe even something sincere about these people.
Don't stretch it.
Yeah, I mean, just saying, like, something that he could actually just regurgitate, because he clearly knew. It didn't come to as a surprise. I'm like, what? No.
Three quick fucking points, Samantha, if I may.
But wait a second. So the point being, though, this is just a preview of what's going to be going on from the Breitbart people. And we're going to talk more about this today, because Steve Bannon obviously out, and try and get a sense of what that means for us and for the political situation. And as of now, it's just going to be a platform to get rid of McMaster. It's really basically a cage match, McMaster and Gorka, and you've got the people in the Breitbart on the outside rattling the cage, and that's basically what it's going to be.
May I, Samantha?
Yes, sir, please.
Three quick points. One, I have taken over as the Africa editor of Bright Fucking Bart, so more info from me. Number two, I can report to you exclusively that McMaster's real birth name is Goldbergerwitz. We will be following up on that extensively.
Right,
globe emoji, globe emoji, globe emoji. And our third point, Samantha, I would like to add that there was nothing wrong with what the president fucking said, and that what happened to the McCain was a real bummer, in the sense that it is hurting us all very deeply. Globe emoji, globe emoji, globe emoji.
I just gotta imagine, like, people who turn into the show for the first time, like, oh, there's a sort of critical story of Donald Trump. Who's that guy who sounds like Nelson Mandela?
Well, on the other show, we're gonna do a series of sort of origin stories about these characters, which maybe could help.
Well, we'll put links.
Exactly. globe emoji, globe emoji, globe emoji.
So, folks, Friday, Myla flies in from Michigan. I have to go to the airport to pick her up. If you're in New York, you know, huge storms. And so I am stuck, after leaving the office, at LaGuardia Airport for 7 hours, waiting for my daughter to land. And so I go around to every place in the Delta Terminal magazine store looking for a copy of Family Handyman. I cannot find it. It is not there. I've seen it there occasionally, but not there. And actually, they virtually have no, like, woodworking. I found one magazine, because that's what I like to do, to take a break from stuff. And then I realize, oh my God, I got Texture on my phone. Texture.com has over 200 magazines available, puts an endless supply of in-depth interviews and articles into your palm of your hand. You can't go directly onto the Family Handyman website unless you're a subscriber. My subscription lapsed, but I realized I got it on Texture. So I sat in LaGuardia and read Family Handyman and end to end. And then thanks to Texture's daily recommendations and exclusive interactive features, you can easily pinpoint articles that you want to read. So if you're not interested in Family Handyman, I don't know why that wouldn't be the case, but you have 199 plus other magazines. New Yorker, Wired, Rolling Stone. What else did I read? Fast Company, National Geographic. Show pictures to your kid of like, he's into lizards. It's completely searchable. And you can set up basically your own magazine by just starring stuff. It's an awesome app, folks. And Texture is normally $9.99 a month, which is virtually nothing considering that you have all of these subscriptions to all these magazines.
I just bought a New Yorker at a newsstand the other day for $8.99.
I was going to say, like, if you buy, that's why I was so, I walked around and I'm like, God damn, oh my God. And it was there. But if you sign up right now at texture.com/majority, you get a 14-day free trial. Go check it out, folks. I think you're going to appreciate this. 14 days to try Texture for free when you go to texture.com/majority, texture.com/majority. Meanwhile, in the event that right-wing Mandela ever gets ill or ends up going to Breitbart and Sinclair TV, which is possible. We will talk more about that later. How would I replace right-wing Mandela? Well, of course, I would go to ZipRecruiter. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. I'm just contemplating the ad I would have to place to get the...
We should do that as a bit.
Yeah. In fact, 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. No juggling with this is my favorite part about it. You don't get tons of emails into your email box, calls to your office. They couldn't call us here anyways. Simply screen, rate, and manage all candidates in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter's been used by businesses of all sizes and the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free, folks. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/majority. ZipRecruiter.com/majority. One more time, try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/majority. Check it out. So, I'm hinting at this thing about Breitbart and Sinclair. I mean, the Bannon has already suggested that he wants to go into TV with Breitbart. They've been doing radio. Mercer's now sitting there with a ton of cash. And I think we're about to see the next stage of the evolution of the Republican Party. It's going to get worse. In the meantime, I have a sense I know who is going to be on that network as their terrorism expert. Because one guy who is not for long in the Trump administration is going to be the subject of this little piece. Seb Gorka was Bannon's boy. And in fact, when Seb Gorka was on the outs, all these reports that he was on the outs, Bannon salvaged him. They're going to try and keep him in there for as long as possible because they want the leaks from him. But, and of course, his wife is in there cutting off funds to the national anti-Semitism, whatever
initiative. After Hate. Specifically, yeah. It was a group founded by a former skinhead who helps take people out of that. I think it was $800,000 worth of funding that they took away from that group specifically.
Yeah, I mean, why would you spend the money?
That money is not going to communists.
No. So here is CNN's report. And my favorite part about this is that, you know, Gorka, when he had his PhD, had an advisor. And apparently Gorka made the mistake of not taking care of that loose end.
Gorka's start in politics began in his parents' homeland when he tried and failed to become mayor of a small town in Hungary. He then aligned with a radical ultra-nationalist leader to announce a new Hungarian political party that also failed. But his political ties have been the source of unfounded allegations he's anti-Semitic. CNN has found no evidence Gorka has ever held anti-Semitic views. The allegation won't go away, largely because of this medal Gorka often wears. It was awarded to his father by a group called the Vitezi Rend, which at one time, the U.S. State Department said, was under the direction of the Nazi government. A current leader of the Vitezi Rend tells CNN they were never involved with the Nazis and says Gorka himself is not a pledged member. Sebastian Gorka says he wears the medal to honor his father. Gorka did get a Ph.D. in political science from a university in Budapest. The dissertation he wrote to earn his degree has been called inadequate by several scholars. Professor Stephen Sloan, now retired, is a Gorka friend and was even an advisor on Gorka's dissertation, which he says was competent. He calls some of the criticism against Gorka partisan, but...
Sebastian is knowledgeable. I would not call him an expert on terrorism.
Sloan says he didn't anticipate Gorka's meteoric rise to the White House.
His level of expertise does not match the level where he stands in the White House.
Folks, just a little note. When your friends say, like, I never expected him to amount to something like that, and it's almost a problem, then you know you've got a problem. And I will say this, too, about that report that they said he never pledged. That is in conflict with the reports from when I think it was it Tablet, Matt?
The Forward, I thought. The Forward reported this heavily, and Eli Clifton over at Loblog reported this.
So maybe they've wised up a little bit and realize that, like, our man in Washington.
It's also funny framing. Like, I get that no one's made the claim that he said anything anti-Semitic, but it's just funny to, like, it just keeps dogging him. This, and there's one reason why. He has a medal from a neo-Nazi group, but besides that, it's totally unfounded.
It's not even neo-Nazi. It's just Nazi group.
I guess
group.
It was like literally a Nazi group, but not a communist group.
We're just sort of like long tail Nazis. Folks.
Things have a second life in Hungary. It's like, I thought that he would be, I don't know, talking on the radio about why terrorists were bad or something, and the dissertation worked perfectly okay for that.
There's something about seeing him on mid-2000s Hungarian television that makes him look like Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Well, he's kind of like the mean-spirited David Brent of counterterrorism.
Yeah, David Brent, that's what I meant.
Yeah, he is the David Brent of security.
I thought he'd meet someone nice and settle down. I mean, he met a very wealthy woman.
Yeah, but if he goes and gives some talks to some old Gentis in Palm Springs, that will scare them a little bit.
I really thought that he had learned enough maybe to write a middling suspense book about terrorism. Yeah, that'd be nice. And he seemed to have a lot of friends in California, and I thought maybe he'd write like a little movie, maybe something for Hungarian television.
He had planned on retiring, looking at his father's Nazi memorabilia, but they pulled him back in.
Just then the helicopters rung out from the distance and landed in his front yard and said, "We need you back."
Damn. More slinky Japanese woman to avoid cheating on his wife with.
Oh my God.
Folks, as I am already, like, at the end of this week, headed out on vacation, already contemplating packing, I just found out a new great thing, about MeUndies. Smaller when you pack them. That's not really a part of the sales pitch, but that's one of the things I appreciate.
It's not true.
MeUndies is one of the most comfortable pair of underwear you will own. It's made from a sustainably sourced natural soft fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. Matt pretends like he invented it because he found it 4 years ago. Whatever.
Discovered it in 2011.
All right. 100% satisfaction guarantee. They guarantee you will love your undies or your money back. Kelly, you got some of those too, right?
Yeah. I think that they are good for working out the material.
Really?
I agree.
Wow. Total agreement. Right now, MeUndies has an exclusive offer for just my listeners. Get 20% off your first pair and free shipping. Never occurred to me to work out, but now I got one more reason to try working out. MeUndies is so sure you will love their underwear, they even offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You order a pair, and if you don't love your first pair, get a full refund. This is a no-brainer. 20% off, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee. What are you waiting for? To get your 20% off, free shipping, and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, get the best and softest underwear you'll ever own. Go to MeUndies.com/majority. That's MeUndies.com/majority. This is a limited time offer. What are you waiting for? Start wearing the best underwear of your life. It has changed my life. I don't know if it's changed my life. It's made my underwear wearing more enjoyable. It seems to have changed Matt's life, though.
It's changed the underwear part of my life.
Matt also is, I would say he's knowledgeable about modal. I don't know that I would say he's an expert. It's time to let MeUndies change yours. Go to MeUndies.com/majority right now. All right, so let's dig into this Bannon stuff. As you know, Bannon is gone. There are conflicting reports, it seems to me, as to the timeline, but it appears as if when John Kelly came in, he basically said to Bannon, look, your time is limited here. And Bannon said, it seems good, fine. And they were supposedly going to wait until, my guess would have been like a week from Friday, right before Labor Day weekend, takes off, and that's it. Or it's also possible Bannon wanted to go out on his own in the way that he wanted to, because he's going to parlay this, right? And in some ways, Bannon's journey at this point mirrors the journey that Donald Trump had anticipated, which is, I'm going to run for president. I'm going to lose, but I'm going to create a bigger fan base, and then I'm going to launch Trump TV. And now it appears that Bannon is going to do the same thing. He has Breitbart. Breitbart is also in Europe now. It's unclear to me what Bannon could do in terms of policy in this White House from the outside that he couldn't do from the inside. It is possible, theoretically, that under his direct tutelage, Breitbart could influence the actions of lawmakers more. But I don't think so. However, it does appear that they're going to, I mean, look, there's two things that have happened on the media front, right? Fox News has deflated. They've lost some of their key talent. They have lost the ongoing ability to sexually harass, I don't know.
Other factor.
Dozens of women.
What?
I don't know.
No more factor.
And the Murdoch sons, you know, one of the brothers donated $1 million, I guess, to the ADL. They want to become more like, I think, you know, somewhere around CNBC. They want to become, you know, MSNBC minus those three hosts.
Don't they already have Fox Business?
They have Fox Business, but I'm saying in terms of ideologically. Fox Business, I think they probably would want to be more like CNBC too. They want to strip the ideology and become just sort of more you know, old school Republican, less conservative movement. That's the sense I get. And simultaneously, you have Sinclair Media, which, because of a deal that was struck between the Trump administration and Sinclair back in October, maybe even earlier, for Sinclair to get special access to Trump surrogates and to give fairer coverage, right?
Gotta be fair.
Gotta be fair. Well, after the election, Sinclair hires Boris Epstein, a Trump advisor.
Who is very fair.
And then, very quickly, the head of the FCC, did I say SS?
You kind of did. That's sort of terrifying.
That's a different agency. The head of the FCC.
A different portfolio in the government, yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. I said it again just to see where I was going with that. The head of the FCC basically rules, and I don't know if this has been official yet, but it appears like it's going to be, that under a sort of a revised loophole, if you will, Ajit Pai has determined that, okay, here is the way that this works. Under statutory and regulatory regime, no owner-operated outfit, that means own the stations, operate the stations, both ends of the distribution, right? And feeding, no owner-operated, you cannot own, in terms of media concentration, more television stations than would cover 39%, I think it is, this is off the top of my head, 39%. Of the country. However, back in the day, before at least maybe Matt was born, there were things called UHF channels because you would have a clicker. Even, do you remember UHF? Yeah, okay. So UHF, when you watch television, there were three major stations, ABC, NBC, and CBS, 4, 5, and 7 in most places. Secondary markets, it would have been like Channel 10, maybe Channel 12, and then the PBS station. But then there were stations like Channel 27, Channel 38, Channel 56. People from Massachusetts will know where I'm from, but from those numbers. But I imagine they were different everywhere else. Those were UHF channels, and they just didn't have the same power. So back in the day, you could own UHF channels and they would not be counted against your ownership of VHF channels because the VHF channels were much more powerful. The UHF were like local, almost community stations, almost. They were commercial, but they were small. In this day and age, there is no difference between the reach of a VHF channel and a UHF channel because of cable. They are treated almost identically. The amount of available reception, viewing of those channels, is almost identical. But Ajit Pai brought this back and basically downgrades how much those UHF channels count towards the 39% that Sinclair owns. So in reality, they're going to be in about 70% of the homes across the country. And right now, they're beaming in this like Boris Epstein stuff. And most people who watch these channels probably assume that this is just a local guy. And really, what they're getting is this is just basically the same model that was used with Rush Limbaugh. We're going to have a national radio show, and it's going to be conservative, and it's going to go out there, but it's going to be on television. And there's going to be some type of deal between Breitbart and Sinclair. And you know, when you're talking about billions of dollars available from a guy like Mercer, people should be concerned.
And it loops directly in with, I know you'll get to it, but the Alex Perrine piece on why Charlottesville is the future of the Republican Party. And like the programming that they will do is like the whole subtext game. It's just like the party. Fox barely did subtext. They were incredibly overtly
bigoted.
Well, but
this is my point.
But it's going to be gone with this network.
The growth of the conservative movement, as we have seen and experienced, really up until Trump, was midwifed by right-wing talk radio and Fox News. And Drudge, frankly. And we're now going to see the next phase, which is much more virulent. And again, it's going to be the same dynamic where it's going to be under the radar because you don't have a Sinclair Media that you can watch and have a sense of what people are people are watching locally. This is the same Sinclair Media that did the John Kerry documentary on
Swift
voting.
And
this
is the reason we have Citizens United. Right?
And they were going to play. I don't know if Citizens United came from them, but that was a Hillary documentary that I think they were going to. But also the GN40, that station that would not play the video of the congressman throwing down the reporter. That just gives you a broad sort of sense of what they're willing to do. And that's now. You know, they drive traffic to Breitbart. Breitbart provides their reporting. I mean, there's going to be some type of relationship there. And I don't think it's one of those things where it's going to impact the Trump administration, but I think you're going to see them use the Trump administration one way or the other. It's either they're going to be defending the Trump administration against the supposed elites in the Republican Party, the cosmopolitan types, the globalists. They're going to use the Trump administration, regardless of what the Trump administration does, either in support or against it, to build a white civic nationalist movement in this country or build upon it. That's what we're going to see. So you'll be watching the Gavin McInnes show on Sinclair, and Richard Spencer will be,
yes,
getting a little bit. I mean, who knows? But this is what's going to happen. Is that going to impact the politics on a day-to-day basis in the coming months?
And Milo will come
or
back.
Year, and Milo will come back. Is it going to be coming back in the months or years? Not dramatically, but years out it will. Years out it will. Maybe they bring in Bill O'Reilly. He's a little bit old, but Sean Hannity, he may be looking for a new home.
There's actually a rumor that Bowling. I heard that certainly Bowling. They will probably sign into your contract formally that you can be sexually harassed at this place. I heard that
it'll be like a how-to thing. Like their morning right. show will be like, instead of like coming in and we're going to have somebody in to show us how to bake something, this is going to be all the ways to cover your tracks.
Right. There won't be any of the like Fox News, like, let's look at a bunch of like swimsuit models, but wag our fingers. This will be, there'll be no subtext. But I read a rumor that Gavin McInnes might be leaving that rebel media place in Canada because another contract is on offer. So
oh,
maybe
I
that's
have a feeling
to
he's
going to
end up maybe either with what's his face? Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. Oh, that would make sense.
I'm not kidding.
Speaking of which, we've got some great Alex Jones.
We will get to that. But a couple of quotes from supposedly from Bannon. Um, Bannon apparently was excited that Kelly took over because it provided structure, and he could not get he would not be usurped by Jovanka, as he calls them. Those days are over. When Kelly came in, those days are over when Ivanka can run in and lay her head on the desk and cry. I don't even want to know.
Don't cry.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'll pretend I'm human. All right,
fine. I'll pretend I don't hate black people, but can we still have a date later?
He referred to Donald Trump, apparently, Bannon did, as Archie Bunker. And I suspect
it's probably
he means
a compliment.
Not ironically. Yes. Yeah. No, definitely.
Didn't Archie Bunker learn lessons as
no.
he went?
No.
No.
Rob Reiner's fact.
Bannon believes that Murdoch. Now, you know, over the past couple of days where Murdoch was supposedly on record as saying get rid of Bannon. Bannon believes this was Kushner pushing Murdoch, but Murdoch is worried about Sinclair Broadcasting as a competitor to Fox. This is Gabe Sherman reports that Mercer's been brought in to talk about how to expand Breitbart on TV. Also, this is interesting. I found intriguing in Gabe Sherman's reporting. Bannon has told friends he wants Priebus to give his account of the James Comey firing to Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller. According to a source close to Priebus, the former chief of staff believes that the decision was made to fire Comey during an early May weekend in Bedminster, where Kushner, Ivanka Trump, and Stephen Miller.
Oh, God.
Party time.
So Miller is on the other side of this.
Well, Miller, I mean, that's, I think, in some ways what makes him so dangerous is that he is obviously a really disgusting bigot and white supremacist, but he's, he's of Washington and kind of knows how to do these bureaucratic games more.
And supposedly the Times says that Bannon was ready for a graceful exit, and then after Charlottesville, the pressure became too great, and he had to go. So we will see what happens. And, you know, I think we're going to have to, I mean, I'm speaking out loud here, but we as a show are going to have to spend a little bit more time watching Breitbart because it can easily get lost in the corners of places that we don't go. And I don't want to expose people to it because it's sort of nasty, but also it's important to know what's going on there because, you know, Michael mentioned Alex Breen's piece about all these guys from Charlottesville. They are the future of the Republican Party. Where is that piece now? I can't find it. But he writes in this piece that, yeah, I have it. I mean, first off, just look at the polling. You know, the polling from Republicans has been that they liked Donald Trump's response to Charlottesville. When presented with a verbatim quote from President Trump on Tuesday, you had a group on one side that was bad, and you had a group on the other side that was also very violent. Most people, normal people, 53% disagreed, 43% agreed. Republicans agreed 87% to 11%. Democrats, basically the mirror image. Independents, 59% disagreed, 39% agreed. Concur with Trump's assertion that both were equally responsible. And that is 2/3 of Democrats blame the far right groups rather than the counter protesters. Republicans overwhelmingly blame both sides equally, 64%. So that's where the Republican Party is today. And where the Republican Party is tomorrow, all those guys who showed up at that rally, all those guys who are in college, which is probably a lot of them, these are the guys who are in the college Republicans now. Remember, college Republicans are getting fed a diet of Milo Yiannopoulos and the rest of these alt-righters by the Mercers, who've been basically subsidizing these people. Here's this dude. This is a guy, Nicholas Fuentes. He has his own YouTube show, right? And
this is a montage, I think, for the AP. I was talking to AP.
Okay, so he is, I believe, from Illinois. And he went to BU as a freshman. He is not going back. And here is what he has to say about this. The guy strikes me as being a little bit older than 19, but who knows?
My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes, and I believe that the people of the United States have a right to self-determination. My reason for going down to Charlottesville over the weekend was to demonstrate. It was to show solidarity for a cause which has not been talked about in the mainstream media, which the American people never got a vote on, and that is the fundamental transformation of the composition of our country. I was supposed to be entering Boston University for my sophomore year, but in response to recent death threats and threats against my physical safety, I decided that that might not be the best idea. Since I attended the Charlottesville rally, and really since I started to become a vocal supporter of President Trump, even during the election in 2016, I started to receive a good number of death threats, threats against my physical safety, and really just a general ostracism on campus.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see those death threats.
I have them on my phone if you want to see
them. The ostracism, I do believe. And, you know, that is, again, this guy's going to be a great right-wing broadcaster because the sense of the absolute sense of aggrievement is stunning. That, you know, I'll remind you that when Air America launched, we got death threats. People would stop Janine on the street. Guys, get out of their car and get into her face and threaten her. In fact, as late as, like, I don't know, 2008, she was getting harassed. And barely ever spoke of it. Just not even in the forefront of her mind. But for these right wingers, this type of aggrievement it's everything. It's their organizing principle. It's the organizing principle of Breitbart itself. I mean, that's what it was built on. Breitbart himself didn't care about policy. He was obsessed with those cool kids who would not let him into their parties in Hollywood. He resented them so much, so personally aggrieved. This is the movement. And when a bunch of people like that get together, they call themselves white civic nationalists. And so this is the future of the party and that movement. All right, we're going to take a break, head into the fun half. One of the fun things we're going to do is look at what happens when the leader of the Unite the Right rally, Jason Kessler, takes a little too much Ambien.
Allegedly.
Well, allegedly takes too much Ambien. Right. You're going to compare that to when I take too much Ambien.
Then you get a baby.
Well, I get a baby or I start
inappropriate.
Sending
you. He said it before.
I know. I didn't need to relive it. Jesus.
Jesus.
Christ. Oh, Christ. I'm sorry. Did something I say make you uncomfortable, Michael?
Yeah, oh my God. Stop it.
Of course, no.
Stop it. Okay, okay, guys. Okay, it's enough.
Is that your impression of me? All right,
we got to do a quick break and head into the fun half.
Offensive.
Number 646-257-3920. Folks, it's your support that makes this show possible. We are going on vacation next week, but guess what? You won't notice. Well, if you watch us live, you will. But otherwise, you won't notice because we're giving you all new interviews. What? That's crazy. That's crazy. It is crazy. Forget it. We're not going to do it.
Every time I see, if you felt the way that I felt about race.
Huh?
Nothing. Go ahead. It will be no different for people.
Folks, you can support this program by becoming a member today at jointhemajorityreport.com. Jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. And if you buy your crap from Amazon, buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. Buy your stuff from Jet, do it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. You will notice no difference, but we get a kickback. Thus, majorityreportkickback.com. All right, quick break. See you in the fun half.
Situation.